Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, cool. All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is January.
It is January 13th. It is Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated's Founders Day, 108 years of Sisterhood Scholarship and Service. Ooh, to all my wonderful sorors who are listening.
I've been seeing a lot of, definitely a lot of posts on the gram this morning. Where y'all got that thing where you put your face in, I guess, the filter.
Now I gotta go do that.
I've been seeing a lot of the Delta filter face. Well, congratulations, I guess. That's all I could say.
Sure. Happy Founders Day.
Thank you.
Yeah. I didn't know it was, I mean, that could make sense, but I was like, are y'all do this shit every year? I thought it was a cycle.
Yes, nigga, it's every
I thought it was like, you know,
it's every year. Every year. Like every
the
year.
25th, the 50th,
no,
the
30th. Every okay. year.
Is this something y'all supposed to do? Y'all just supposed to be fellowship with each other, or just?
I mean, if it wasn't Rona, there would be
a bunch of events and stuff.
Yeah, there's like sometimes individual chapters do their own thing on the alumni side, which is the graduate side. There's a metro area party that usually happens. Like last year was at 4040, and I actually feel really glad that I went because I don't always go. And last year I went. Not knowing, I actually realized I went out last year in January more than I usually do, and I had no idea that like the whole outside was about to shut down. So,
nobody knew that. You know,
And then there's also usually a metro area Founders Day brunch where
I'm sure it's lit.
Yeah, you know, you bring the fur out, you got your red and your cream on, and you know all that good stuff, and like different chapters hosted.
Is there some type of Zoom action happening today or something like that?
There might be. I'll be honest. I'm not financial right now, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Slacking on your pimping.
They like the church, baby.
You ain't paid them tithes. It's certain events you might not be able to come on in here now.
They'll let you work, but you don't get a vote. Like you could be on the committee still, but you can't vote on nothing.
You can't vote. So. You sitting there like, damn.
You put that work in.
We're gonna skip over you this year, Miss Naima. And the next thing you pay your fines. You get on here and vote on this thing.
But yeah, I it's January. It's a big Greek month. I didn't feel like digging in the archives and doing all that stuff. Like,
yeah, I've been seeing that too. Like people posting pictures. And, I mean, especially with. Obviously, the way the world is now, like any little light you can, you know, you could get, like a little happiness you could get, like take it. You know what I'm saying? Because shit is bonkers.
Hold on. On the old nigga auntie or uncle podcast,
Sean has a
newspaper.
Nigga got the newspaper.
A whole paper newspaper.
And all you nigga need is some coffee now. So you'll say, hand me my paper and my coffee. There you go. He got the coffee too. He gonna flip the paper. You know, he just flip it. Fold it back over and fold it again. So you can read the story. Oh, shit.
Yo, I ain't seen somebody read a paper
in a minute.
Oh my God.
This was actually a gift. I remember I told you guys about the old couple that I've been going to the store for. So he called me. He was like, look, you know, obviously they know, you know, I'm not hurting, right? Like, seems like I don't really know what to get you. So I've been in financial, you know, I worked in finance for like 40 years. I'm going to get you a Wall Street Journal
subscription.
Subscription, yeah.
To come to your house. That's actually dope.
Nice. Yeah, that's also perfect for you.
I was also kind of like, what makes you think I don't have the Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, exactly. What you trying to say, nigga?
Yeah. I mean, basically, I was like, yeah, I get that. I get Barron. He was like, oh, so, but I said, nah, it's fine. I just canceled my subscription. And now I just get it.
Yeah, it's just dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only more unk shit bro could have been doing was reading obituaries.
Literally.
Oh, God! Like, oh, no, shit!
I remember them. They used to run that store on the corner. They used to have that place. But you used to get that sandwich that you like.
I used to cut my hair.
You made a good cup of coffee.
Oh, man.
Shout out to, what's my girl's name? Monet Shay. She's got a different name on every social media account. Shay Monet. Whatever her name is, who does the skits, who does the old black.
Oh, you're on Instagram. She is.
On TikTok.
It's an IM17. It's like a weird tag for the grid.
Yeah, but her name is either awesome. Monet or Shay or Shay.
It's Shay. It's Shay something. It's Shay
something. Yeah, because on Twitter she's Monet something, but like she be so spot on with the old black people.
With the old black shit. Spot on.
Oh my God.
Uh-huh.
You know what? It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
They're out to his mama's house now.
You traded it in. You traded that other one in, ain't it?
That
ain't bad at all.
I definitely said, oh, that ain't bad.
That ain't bad at all. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to get this party started. First thing I'm going to talk. Actually, I'm going to let you jump in, Inca, because I've been meaning to get at Bridgerton, but I haven't got. Is it Bridgerton? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, it's Bridgerton.
Bridgerton, yeah. But I haven't gotten it. It's Shonda Rhimes' first series on Netflix.
She is executive producing. Bridgerton is a series of like 7 novels.
Yeah.
And you can go ahead and address me as Your Grace. You're speaking to the Duchess of Hastings right now.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, here we go then. Shit. Your Highness.
I'm all up in it. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard it's really good. I thought it was kind of interesting and, good move, I think, for Shonda to do, what people weren't expecting her to do, which would be like kind of like a scandal, highway murder series with a black woman lead. I'm sure something will probably come in later on in that vein, but it was cool for her to kind of take this, very kind of white, upper crust series of novels. And put that
Let's
out.
Let's not forget that Shonda also does
Grey's Anatomy. Grey's I was about to
yeah.
say.
She does Grey's Anatomy. She had Boston Public. She had Law. She had a bunch of shit before she got to the Black Women.
Yeah, actually, the only like the only I think that we do that like we yeah. like we lock into that, but like her, when you look at her filmography, right, like the things that she's had her hands in,
it's more of that
it's,
stuff.
It's way more of that than. Yeah. It is, Anna
Annalise.
Don't forget,
Carrie's,
Anna Mae was her real name.
Yeah, what was Carrie? I forget Carrie's name on the show.
Olivia Pope.
Yeah. But anyway. go on, your Lady Grace or whatever your name is. Go on and talk a little bit about Bridgerton because I've been hearing it's very popular. It's trending crazy on. Netflix since it came out.
Yes.
It's been in the I started it and I tapped out and I keep trying to get back into it because I didn't make it very far at all.
It doesn't get juicy to like episode 3.
Okay.
I'll say.
So what's it about like basically? Like
it's a 17th century gossip girl.
Okay. Okay.
That's what it is. It's a high society. There's this debutante element. So to join the social season, I guess, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. to begin courting, you have to come out. And it's about the Bridgerton family's eldest girl finally coming out and trying to secure an engagement and these sorts of things. But it gets scandalous. It's a good watch. It's very sexy.
Yeah,
I like it.
A lot of stuff popping off.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of like black and multicultural people mixed in to like a Victorian time period, which you don't always see, which is
usually it's very white when in those time period pieces.
Yeah,
I mean, I get to it. There's so much to watch. There's so much stuff coming on, and especially January starting the new year, all the streaming services have a lot of new shit popping off.
I thought about you, Jeff, because I watched Netflix has this joint called Lupin?
Oh yeah, Lupin. I'm definitely getting to that.
Lupin. I like it a lot.
Is it a series or is it a movie?
It's a series, but there's apparently several chapters. This is the first chapter. And when it ended, I was like, wait, that can't be the end of the first series or whatever. I'm wondering how long it's going to take them to introduce the next one. because okay. it didn't even really Ooh. Feel like a finale. It's like an episode finale, but I mean, it just felt like the end of an episode. But yeah. But yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. Okay. I binge watched it this weekend while working on my dollhouse stuff. But anyway, yeah.
Oh Jesus Christ! So yeah, so yeah, so I mean, there's so much stuff. I got, like I was saying last week, there's so much stuff that I've already watched that I've like forgotten that I watched stuff. Like I watched a George Clooney joint on Netflix. I totally forgot about it. That was all right. I watched some other shit on HBO Max too that I forgot about too. That was half ass decent. And now I've been into a Korean film run. I watched a movie called Alive, hashtag Alive rather, which is super dope actually. The Korean. I mean, this is, I hope this doesn't sound racist, but Koreans actually make really great movies. Like, you know, like, obviously, like, Snowpiercer, which is one of my faves. Y'all, mm-hmm. y'all niggas hated it. That's a Korean.
The ending movie. Is terrible.
And it's popping. But anyway, that's a Korean film. What was the one that won the Oscar last year?
Parasite.
You know, so they actually have a, obviously, a huge film industry, and they, like, they really do it. Like, it's, they got, like, you know, they do all type of genres. They do a little bit of everything. And they're
just deep in the horror movie genre, too.
Yeah, heavy in the horror movie. So Alive is kind of, it's not horror. It's kind of, it's a zombie thing. It's kind of like, it was kind of, you know, akin to now. It was like, people got this virus spread throughout the world. But people got this virus, and they turned into zombies. And they were like, but it was about this kid. He's only like, 18, I guess, or so, 18, 19. So, like, he's in the crib, like, being a typical teenager, sleeping late, not doing shit. And then he, like, turns on the news. His mom is gone or whatever. He turns on the news, and, like, he looks at, and he's like, they're like, oh, the virus is spreading. Like, he's just, like, in a apartment complex. And so all the people in the complex are, like, it's kind of like The Projects, I guess, and they're all catching it. So like he can't go outside. He doesn't know what to do. But he's a kid, so he's got like his phone. He can't really, you know, he can't get a signal. He's got a drone, you know. So then he sees a girl in the other building across the way. So then they start communicating, and you know, so on and so. But it's got a little humor. It's definitely got like some gore. You know, it's very good. It's very good. And then there's another one I watched called High Society, which is super dope. About this guy who is a running for Congress with his wife and all the things they got to go through and the twists and the turns, and that's really ill. Like, so like I'm really digging the Korean movie, so I highly suggest them if you got nothing else to watch.
You are a fascinating person, Jeff.
Because thank of you, all the content you consume.
Thank you, Inka. Okay, so. You know. Nice. And at the same time, I heard Future's dropping Monster 2, and I'm waiting on that. That's my nigga right there. But anyway.
Netflix has some really good Mexican dramas that I've been watching.
Oh, you've been doing the Mexican thing?
Okay. Yeah, but not like the full out, like the kind of soap opera-y joint. So I watched one yesterday that I don't remember the name of at all already, but it was about this chick who was married to the president. She was first lady of Mexico.
Okay.
And she's leaving her husband, and it's a whole scandal, and they get in a fight, and he ends up dead. Like, he crashes at the bottom at this whole press event that's going on, and everybody obviously assumes she did it. So she spends the whole season on the run trying to prove that she wasn't the person who killed her husband.
There's all kinds
of, but what's interesting about that one is there's a moment where they address, like, the drug wars and the drug trade in Mexico, and your man's is like, you know, the real people causing all the problems with drugs is the United States of America, and yeah. We're not fucking with them no more. And no. They're like just like on it. And I was like, okay, a little bit
yeah.
of
yeah. I mean, Mexico.
I mean, it's true, but
no,
yeah.
It's very true. Mexico. I mean, I remember when I talked about when I went to Cancun. I guess I was 19. And you see it like the. It's interesting in Mexico and some other cities, countries are like this too. I'm sure in South America, but like the cartels obviously make. You can't even count the type of bread that they make, right? And so they have really decided to. The government and the cartels are partners, but it's not hidden. It's like, yo, we gonna let y'all rock because obviously y'all bringing wild paper in, but the cartels are now starting to dump some of that money back into the country, like building up stuff and everything. And so it's kind of like, I mean, it, you know, you call it dirty or whatever, but like I said, you go to Cancun, it's like condo buildings and stuff going up and
everywhere,
high-end restaurants, and like everything is fly, because obviously that's going to bring, you know, pre-COVID, that was bringing more tourism, which, you know, helps the country, and it's just kind of like the symbiotic relationship. And then again, yeah, so the Americans, they it's like, y'all are fucking this up. We good. Come down here, eat your tacos, drink your motherfucking tequila, and leave with the chill and go home. Like, we Gucci. We don't need no help with nothing else, you know? So that's my little Mexican take on that. What's up, bro?
No, I'm good. No,
I ain't
saying
that nigga read about the Dow Jones right now. Nigga, like, checking some futures. Oh, wait, no. bro, it's actually something I do want to talk to you about, since you're the financial advisor of the Pop Life Podcast. It's been a lot of, it's been interesting because I've been watching a lot of my young boys in the music business anyway. For some reason, I don't know what triggered this, but I'm happy it has. But
everybody playing the stock market?
Yeah, the stock market. These niggas is like, you know, but they playing it like kind of like trying to, you know, they doing it, they don't understand this. So like a lot of them are trying to hit, like, I'll put 1,000 in today and like I'm going to try to get 5,000 up by the end of the week. We know that doesn't usually happen, but they're playing. But then that's triggered a lot more interest now in Bitcoin, which is going nuclear. But I think they had a big dip of recently, right?
Yeah, well, Bitcoin is like, look, for
it's been around for a minute, but lately
for clarity, for clarity, I'm nobody's financial advisor. I know a little bit about a little bit. Yeah,
don't do what I'm telling you.
Don't be like Sean saying.
Sean told me to
put my money in this. I did not. But Bitcoin is wildly volatile, right? Like if
wildly
you look at,
volatile.
I mean, it's just like insane. So you see these massive spikes, but you also see these massive dips. And we're talking about 30, 40%, like in the blink of an eye. And yes, I mean, listen, it's a 12-year-old currency, right? Like, so it's not like super young, but it's young in theory, right? Like you don't have a history to go back to. I'm a little bit of old school. It's like even when, you know, somebody was trying to talk me into a Tesla, and I was like, you know, Mr. Earl can't fix a Tesla. Okay. No, Mr. Earl can fix it.
Can't change that carburetor.
He can fix these Fords and these Chevys, my nigga. Yeah. And I got a 120-year history that tells me what I'm getting with Ford and Chevy.
Now, can't buy a new brake light at AutoZone for a Tesla.
Basically, right? Like, basically, my nigga, right? Like, that's not a very simple car. So I get it. And yes, it is the type of thing that if you want to invest in it, I think that that's something that you put some bread that you're okay with walking away from. Right. Like I've always felt like I remember an old head telling me that, you know, at the dice game, like don't bet what you can't afford to walk away from.
We're talking.
So, yeah, I mean, even if there was one NFL guy who there was an article going
around. I saw that.
He was paid in Bitcoin, and technically he was not paid in Bitcoin. What he did was he converted his payment into Bitcoin. He was paid to a trust, and that trust basically took 50% of his funds
and made it Bitcoin
and converted it into Bitcoin. Now, God bless, and I hope who is ever his trustee does not take his blockchain or password or whatever the fuck you do to recover your money and disappear to the Cayman Islands. I would hope, but
see, that's the thing about Bitcoin for me. Like, there's no backing to it. So, like, all these stories about people dying and nobody knows how to unlock the Bitcoin, or people forgot the Bitcoin password, and now there's like a $500,000 just sitting out.
There's a dude. There was an article I read. I think it was something like a guy had like $140 million in this shit, and basically, he can't figure out how to get to it.
Yeah, I saw an article yesterday where a guy had 220M, and he don't remember his password. I'm like, my nigga,
it's two logins left or it's gone.
The other thing about Bitcoin that people, like you said, like it's not infinite logins.
Which is fascinating because there is no one to call, right? I forget my password down to the chase, And guess what, nigga? I could walk to the Chase.
Yeah.
And say I need all that.
Yep. And show your ID, your government issued ID, and you need your square.
And guess what I can do? I can walk out of there with all that.
Yeah.
Immediately. You know, same day.
Yeah. I need it in small bills, my nigga.
Yeah, exactly.
All of that.
Exactly. I'll pull a car around. Y'all be having ready.
So the Bitcoin is again, it's volatile, and it's volatile as shit. And most people are buying percentages of, like, you're not really buying. I remember, you know, Justin, you know, was kind of flirting around with these sort of cryptocurrencies, and there's several cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, there's Bitcoin, is what's it? It's a
Litecoin. I put, like, you know, I just wanted to play around with it. So I think I put like $100 or something, you know, just to kind of see. Mm-hmm. And again, they're all volatile, and there's no sort of, in my opinion, there's no market to follow to understand the volatility, right? Like, you can understand to some degree when you see markets go up and down.
Yeah. There's something happening with the government, or
the government is changing.
A war started, or whatever.
You know, to me, there's no real rhyme or reason.
Mm-hmm. But I think part of what's happening is, you know, we're behind. We're, meaning the U.S., we're behind most of the country in cryptocurrency, especially South and West Africa. Like, they're heavy on cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
And I think part of what's happening is just an exposure to other Black people trading in crypto, instead of it just being some stories that you're hearing about that, like, tech people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
In curiosity, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that, matter of fact, the football player that we spoke about, he's an African cat.
I would also like to add that he was not able to put all of his money into crypto as he wanted, because his wife was like, you're bugging, my nigga.
You're bugging the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah. Slow down.
I cannot go to Neiman Marcus and spend.
I can't go down to the Kroger.
Amazon does not have a cryptocurrency option. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know,
let me swipe that card down to the public. Yeah.
So I think that's that was always my question when I would get people sort of bringing those things up, is like, how does that factor into real life? If I have this Bitcoin and I want to purchase a home, if I have this Bitcoin and I want to purchase a car, how does that, do I now have to convert to traditional money? Does that, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was so many different things that I couldn't really grasp when I would ask the questions. And my theory is, if you can't explain it to a second grader, then I'm not listening to you.
Yeah, I'm not fucking with you. Yeah.
Triple
talkers. This one last thing on the Bitcoin, which I found interesting, is there's a movie called Dope. Came out, I think, in 12 or 13?
Yeah, it was on BET yesterday.
It was? Okay, so it's a movie called Dope, and it's starring, like, Shamar Moore and a couple other cats, and they're about...
Shamik Moore.
You know what I meant.
Nigga, that is two completely different people, nigga.
Nobody, like, watching, you know, a Shamar Moore movie.
Shamar Moore, you know Shamar Moore, he's been in the Diary of a Man Black Woman.
The aunties would have been disappointed, nigga. Yeah. They would have turned into...
Where's Shamar at? Who's this boy?
Nigga with no shirt on. Word. He got this little short boy dancing.
Exactly. Who was this boy? But anyway, the movie was about this kid. I'm kind of fuzzy on it because I haven't seen it in a while, but it's about these kids in L.A. and they got kind of caught in a scam, and it was like, oh, the movies, all this stuff about, like, running around trying to fix stuff. But the meat of the movie was one of the characters, who actually was an artist on Atlantic, was I forget the kid's name now, but whatever. But he was trying to get, he was buying Bitcoin. So, like, this stuff, like, I remember watching that movie later, but, like, oh shit, like, somebody, whoever wrote this movie, knew, like, back in, you know, 8 years ago with this Bitcoin thing, because I remember him explaining it to them, and they were like, what the hell are you talking about? He's like, nah, cryptocurrency. And but it was very interesting that some, whoever wrote that movie knew about the Bitcoin wave, you know, right from the beginning and what it was going to be. But anyway, let's move forward. I guess peace to Bill Belichick for not accepting the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
No, not peace of Bill Belichick.
Nah, that's why I said a guess. I wasn't.
I mean, he was in the no-win situation. He couldn't. He clearly can't take that award, right? Like, yeah. And listen,
and coaching on niggas, you know what I'm saying, you know.
I mean, he couldn't take that award and be in this league. There's just no way.
No way. So he turned down the Presidential Award of Freedom.
But also, he should have never been offered the Presidential Medal.
Yeah, absolutely.
What did Bill Belichick do?
What has Lou Holtz done? Like, it's showing you the level of infantile level of Trump's mental for the
people that he's giving to. Yeah, Trump just hit niggas off that he's like
this is something that con men and hustlers do often, which is they ingratiate themselves to people in order to maintain a favor. Yeah. This is real old school shit. We know this from the music business. This is very music business shit, right? Very. Like, I'm gonna give your nephew this bullshit job that I know he probably gonna last a year in, because now I know I got you in pocket and I can come back for a favor
whenever I'm ready. Shit.
Yes, and so he understands he's leaving. So all of those people, the Lou Holtz and the Bill Belichicks, and you know he can't give it to Kraft, right? Because that's just too hot right now, right? But you can see him trying to facilitate, and that's really where the bread is. Sports is where the bread is. They print money,
and he's also an area Trump's been trying to get into for.
Yeah, but I was saying, he's always had
for 40 years. Damn,
he's had a vision of owning a team like forever. And you know, but we'll get into
he could never get it because people wasn't right.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. His money wasn't right. So we'll get into the whole government shit in a little bit. Let's talk about. I want to mention Lori Harvey. We talked about her on the show before, but let's mention her again. So came out last week that Lori Harvey is dating Michael B. Jordan.
Now, it came out sooner than long before that, but Michael actually posted pictures of each other on the ground.
Yeah, yeah, which in today's world makes it official. You know what I'm saying? If you post it, now it's real. So he posted, I guess they went on holiday vacation together, and they obviously been spending some time together. He'd been courting, and they seem like a happy couple. But every time Lori Harvey does something that garners attention, it's very interesting that there's still this faction of men and women who kind of like try to call her a hoe and try to dog her because like, oh, she's dating this one. And what does she really do with her life? And why do we, you know, what's her talents? And
it ain't even that far. I haven't even seen all that. It's always just young women are gonna try to imitate what Lori Harvey does, and I don't know why y'all think this is to be celebrated and nobody wants a woman like that. And my thing is like,
well, a woman like what? I don't even know what that means.
Right.
We know what it means.
We know what it means.
The fast ass gal.
Loose gal. That's what they're trying to say.
And you know, I went on I don't give a fuck about Lori Harvey one way or the other, but this gets under my skin because, first of all, Lori didn't even post Future on her IG. Michael is the only person that she ever posted. Future posted her.
Yeah, Future posted her, yeah.
She didn't post Future. We don't know what this woman's voice even fucking sounds like because she
doesn't talk
about shit. Nor do these niggas talk about her, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There ain't no drama. There ain't no scandals except for the shit that people make up. Mm-hmm. And most of the pictures we see are paparazzi pictures. So we actually don't know what the fuck Lori Harvey does or doesn't do, right? But that said, she is 24 and fucking rich and chilling. She was engaged.
Living her life.
She was engaged to She was engaged to a soccer player.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the soccer.
Broke it off when she was 20.
Yeah, they were young, like 19, 20. Yeah,
so she's probably like, the fuck? I'm chilling. And also, like, so I asked this. I've been asking this on Twitter because niggas been mad. And I keep saying, why should she be marriage-minded at 24? For what? And nobody can answer that question. They're like, well, if you want to be a hoe. And I'm like, she's dating. Like, and she's only attached to a couple of dudes a year. It's not like it's even that. And attached. I say attached loosely, right? Mm-hmm. Like
photographed with.
Dating. Yeah, it's dating. This is what you do in your early 20s to figure out if you even want to marry these motherfuckers.
But I think this is a testament to how we have indoctrinated young people about what it is to date, and that dating is only to be done in the pursuit of marriage.
Yeah.
It is not to be done with the pursuit of enjoyment, of company. We lock into things. You know, every so often, you know, we kind of get the, you know, we understand when it's jokes, but you'll often see a lot of the content that people talk about is, you know, when they moving their shit in, and when they're taking, you know, when you meet somebody's mom is like this threshold of, you know, which is bullshit, right? We get it. We know that there are also jokes tied to that. So we understand when there are people that are kind of joking around with that. But there's a lot of seriousness with that. And I think what she does is she's sort of bucking the trend, right?
Because
many of the socialites that would be her contemporaries, this is kind of what they do. They kind of date in the pursuit of marriage.
Mm-hmm. But also she is legitimately a socialite. We don't have a lot of straight up black socialites. Lori Harvey does not have a job. She doesn't have a career. She's not trying to sell us shit. She don't want us to buy nothing. She don't want us to subscribe to her class. She's not giving no.
She ain't got no tummy.
Ain't no flat tummy. Ain't no teeth whiteness.
ain't no YouTube channel.
None of it.
Ain't no hairline. She is legitimately a socialite. So people really don't know what to do with her. Because that's my other thing. If Lori Harvey bothers you, who the fuck cares? There's no support you can withdraw because she's not even asking you to do shit for
exactly.
her.
Exactly.
At all, right? So that, but what I think it is, I said to your point, Sean, like, I challenge people to keep asking why, to go all the way through this process. Like, why? Because it's bad. Why? Because it means that she's been with a lot of men. Okay, why? Because nobody's going to want her. But why would nobody want that? Because it means, okay, but why? You know what I mean? Like, follow that shit all the way to the end, because you don't have an answer. You actually don't have an answer, right?
I appreciate that Generation Z is kind of bucking back at the bullshit we had to endure with dating and
being shamed.
Being shamed. Like, this girl's this girl's 24 years old. She don't owe nobody. Everything you said, y'all have said, I totally agree and love. One of the other things that I love is that she's dating, you know, some of these guys, obviously very well known, you know, Future, allegedly Puff. That was weird. I don't know what that was really about. You know, Michael B. Jordan, whatever. But what I appreciate is, unlike the way kind of like Instagram has kind of spun things, like with the way down lower levels of this, like the Aries and these other kind of girls on the gram, like they're dating these rap niggas. And yes, they have their own Instagram pages and they make a good amount of money from that, but it feels still spun like, well, Ari dated this one to get here. And then, you know, so-and-so, I can't think of another one off the head, but she dated this one to get here. It's kind of like they're moving up the chain. Whereas with Lori, like, she don't need these niggas for shit. She's not dating them to. Ascend a ladder.
The other thing is, there's clearly a fucking minimum fee requirement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
We need to see your W-2s, nigga.
let's be clear on a couple things, okay, my nigga. You are not putting her in no middle seat on Spirit. That's not happening. Okay,
she's not staying at the Holiday Inn.
She's not flying commercial.
You
don't work. She's
the fuck out of here. She did fly commercial with Mike. They won Delta for Thanksgiving or Christmas or something. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
My point is...
But I don't know what you're saying. Yeah,
we're 100%.
There's levels.
That was Delta and first class. I'm positive with that.
Yeah, exactly. And the joint that they take you right to the plane and you the first thing is off the plane with the shit waiting.
Yes, they have greeters. You got a
separate door. They wasn't at the carousel, like, waiting for the bags to come out.
Exactly. So you know, the other thing is that I think people, not only do they envy that level of freedom,
that's what it is,
right?
That's what it is.
They're also kind of reliving the part where they were 24.
Yep.
And they weren't able to do those things.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we get beaten in the head like, when you gonna get married, girl? You know what I mean? Dating all these boys and settle down.
I think that's what it is for the women. Like, this one woman was like, Lori Hart, and this is what got me going yesterday. she was like, Lori Harvey has dated more people than I have, and I'm 37. And I was like, and somebody was like, you can start living your life at any time. Because I was like, that sounds like you mad.
That hurts.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that just, you just angry. Because, like, why do you think that's something to be proud of, that you ain't dated?
Well, yes, because that generation, because that generation at 37 years old has been told that no man worth his salt will want a woman who has miles or who has been around and who has a history or who has. So this is all a part of, this is also a men thing, right? We have taught our sons that you got to get the good girl. This is why you see older niggas going after barely
young,
you know, like
young,
like
personal,
yeah, like women know. That are like they're young women, clearly,
right?
Like when they're like 20 and this nigga's like 32,
yeah,
right? Like this is all in an effort to sort of get her before the streets get her or some other weird ass shit. And you know, again, we all make the joke, and like I always say, like, yeah, I know your mom has talked to you about that, okay, my nigga, but she was at Fresh Fest.
Yeah, she was
at Fresh Fest, my nigga,
with the biker shorts on.
Like who do you think were the groupies in 87 and 88?
Yeah.
Who do you think was dating fucking Rakim and LL and
Run DMC
like,
and
whatever?
Yeah.
Like, it's just fascinating to me that we've been able to do that. And yes, I agree with Inga. Like, I'm glad that this generation is sort of bucking, and they're doing this across the board. Let me just say too, not to go off on a tangent, but they're doing this across the board. Mm-hmm. They're doing this in workplace.
Yep.
No, you're not slaving them no more.
Nope.
That
they not staying in them 30-year jobs. No, you got them maybe 2 or 3 years tops.
They're not doing none of that shit. You're not making them feel bad because they don't own a home.
Yep.
You know, you're not making them feel bad because of this, because of that. Like, they are focused on the shit that they want to do and the things that make them happy. Yep. And I understand that there are cons that come with that.
They very much are kids in that sense. Because, like, I think you're Generation X, but the millennial, no offense.
I'm millennial.
You're millennial. You're an old millennial, though. So no offense, younger. No offense to millennials in general, because they take everything fucking personally.
We do.
Goddamn sensitive. Like,
we are.
And they want to talk
about
it.
We've been through a lot.
They want to talk about every goddamn thing. They need to process every goddamn thing. At Exodus, we're very much, because we were a generation of like only kids and all shit. Like, we were just out here MacGyvering everything.
We were also, I think it's fair to say that there's also a line of demarcation of a repressed generation.
Yes.
And a generation that has been taught to actually think things through and to express themselves. And so, yes, there is a more, look, we can clearly look at the stats of therapy now and how that has been. I looked for a black therapist and I couldn't get an appointment.
Couldn't get an appointment. Load it up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that, yes, and to kind of bring this all back home, I think the shit with Lori is twofold. She lives a very princessy life, right? Yep. Her parents are like, her mom is still fine as fuck. Her stepdaddy is, you know, very, very well off. Like, ain't nobody hurting over there. Yep. Okay. She don't have to work. Nope. She doesn't have to do any of that shit. And she gets to live this incredible life. And we don't know any, like, there is nothing there's nothing to grab at with her.
Yep.
And so people are grasping at straws.
A different kind of celebrity. Like, we're just off the cusp of like the Kardashian generation where everything has to be documented. Mm-hmm. So for her to buck against that and just be like, no, you can't know my business.
Yeah, exactly.
In a very like Beyonce way.
And I think it's dope. It's very counterintuitive to that particular generation who expresses and shows every single detail of their life. And so I think that that's what we're, you know, that's also what we're seeing. And, you know, look, you know, her mama definitely taught her how to close her mouth.
Yeah. Right?
So that's why, you know, now, you know, like her mama was dating some thoroughbred niggas from back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Sure was.
So her dad, I think, was the biggest. Her dad was the biggest D-boy in Memphis at the time.
Or if not the big one, because remember, Marjorie was married to two cousins who were both too big.
Oh, yeah. One went away, and then she dated the other one that got out, the one stayed out. I think, till he went away. But yes, yeah, so Marjorie's about that. She's about that action too.
She's also about my business is my motherfucking
exactly,
business.
Exactly.
It ain't been no tell-all book. Ain't been no, you know, her on interviews talking about this sort of shit. Mm-hmm. She go to Italy. She get her clothes.
Yeah.
Okay, she pick her pictures.
You on her yacht. She go hang out with Cookie and them.
Go to San Tropez.
Right. Yep.
Okay. They take pictures in Rolls Royce and they go about their fucking business.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I love it. So like, peace to Lori Harvey.
And I just want everybody to think it through too. Like, if you're a woman judging Lori, I really need you.
Well, it's because you're mad. Because you're mad that you haven't been able to live how she's living.
And ask yourself, and really be honest with yourself, because there are a lot of women who are like, oh no, never. But the reality is, again, like we said, we actually don't know what Lori's doing. So are you upset that you did all the things that you were told you have to do, and you're seeing somebody else doing the exact opposite and like thriving, and doesn't care. Like, that's the thing, right? And she doesn't care. And I think that's the part that gets to everybody. Cause I'm like, even with dudes, I'm like, y'all can not want to date or marry Lori Harvey all day. Fortunately for you, it's not an option for you to date.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't even matter. Good. You're never going to meet Lori Harvey, let alone date her.
Like, right.
No.
You're not in this game, son, at all. Like, you're not in this fucking game. So yeah, so again, peace to Lori Harvey.
At all, in the wildest of scenarios, is it ever possible to?
You ain't got a shot. So that, you know, enjoy your life, Lori. Live it to the fullest. I'm enjoying watching you and love your life to the fullest. I thought those when she went to like I forget what island with Jordan and them. I guess that was last year. I thought that was phenomenal. And I think that, like Nye said, that kind of crew. Like Jordan, Lori, and I forget who else is in those pictures.
I think Normani was there.
Normani was in there. And you notice all those girls are low. It was almost like they
Jordan learned her lesson after kicking it with Kim.
And them. And she came back home to the black girls. Like, I was tripping. Yep. I'm back home.
She's been kind of low ever since.
And low. She's doing her thing. She's dating an NBA player. I mean, I can't remember who now. Again,
can't think of his name.
Because she's low. That's why we can't remember, because we don't see them. You know what I'm saying? So peace to Lori Harvey. God bless. You want to talk about Put a Ring on It? Did you watch, any of y'all watch Put a Ring on It?
I watched the finale.
Did you watch the reunion show? Checked out.
The reunion show. That's what I meant to say.
What'd you think?
Nothing new happened. I think that what's her name?
Ashley.
Ashley needs to let Hollywood go.
I agree. She's going
I think she's
going to
punish
now.
Him for the rest of his life.
Yeah,
it's just not worth it.
That was actually part of why I checked out. Well, so what I did was I kind of started to follow them on IG, both of them.
Okay. I don't follow them. How are they on IG? I've seen it kind of wilding out a little bit.
It was very clear that they were not going to separate. Like, that was abundantly clear that they were not going to separate. But then also, it felt very... we want to be on TV. It felt very we want to be on TV. And I'm not saying that the other people didn't want to be on TV.
But they try to make a career out of this shit.
And listen, you know, who are me? God bless, right? You know, Atlanta's the new LA for a lot of folks. You know, that's kind of where you go to get into the entertainment business. And so I get it. I think that they, you know, probably... are in Atlanta for that, right? Like, they're looking to kind of, you know, maybe jump on a Tyler Perry show or do you know what I'm saying? And again, I'm not saying this with any judgment. I'm just simply saying it did not make me feel like there was a complete authenticity. I think that there were moments of authenticity throughout the series, but they had no intentions or this was all for play. Unlike Michael and Shay, where I felt like Michael was kind of, on the ropes. He didn't really know if he, you know, wanted to stop seeing old girl.
Yeah, but now he found out they pulling up the trifecta. So that was kind of wild.
I would not be mad in that.
No, Mike won.
That's very, very lit.
He got two smokers.
Not mad at that. But I do want to say about Hollywood and Ashley. Hollywood is a barber from New Orleans. And she's talking about finding emotional safety and speaking all these like therapy words into a relationship with him. And I'm like, this nigga has been who he is for 9 years. He's the type of man that you have to explicitly say, like, give him instructions on what emotional safety looks like to you, because he's not going to figure that out.
No.
Like, just not, like, insulting his intelligence or anything, but that's a certain type of man that's, like, if I'm having an issue with you and I'm your woman, I have to say to that type of nigga, okay, when you do this, I feel this, so I need you to move this way going forward. He's not connecting those dots because she's not being honest about what she really needs from him, and she's not connecting the dots for him.
Yeah,
that's never going to happen on its own.
Yeah, I agree to 100%. Now,
she need to let that go. But Michael and Shay, they look like they're going to have a good time for a long time.
With Whitney, exactly. And now, I'm going to go back to Hollywood a second, but and not making excuses, but now when the trifecta, when the, you know, the trifecta and the threesome thing came up.
Trifecta.
It's a trifecta. It made more sense to me why Shay was so against the boy moving in. Because if he moves in, that shit stops.
They swing from the chandeliers and
no, but there's no threesomes. This is with the 12-year-old boy in the next bedroom. That all that freaky shit stops once the kid moves in. It's over. It ain't gonna be no like, oh, this Miss Whitney, she gonna spend the night with us. Like that's not
they're
happening.
Not a throuple.
But obviously they do threesomes. It seems like they do threesomes, you know, on a somewhat consistent basis. Again, there's no judgment to it. But I get why Shay was thinking, she didn't break it down, but I think she was thinking, yo, if this kid moves in, this loose lifestyle that we have is over.
Loose lifestyle.
I think that was Shay's perspective. And
she
also
was
why,
saying like fun and like travel and that whole thing. And like, I totally get that you, there's ways to work around it. People are in like polyamorous relationships with kids that normalize that shit all the time. Like, I don't think it's a big deal if Auntie Whitney is at the brunch table with us on Sunday morning.
Yeah, but it might be a big deal to the kid's mom, who's neither one of these
for
women.
Sure. Watching the kid, if I'm the baby mama watching that, I'm wilding.
Yeah. She
nobody's moving anywhere. Y'all are crazy. Fuck out of here.
You freak ass niggas. the other thing was I be doing my little like side watches. So there's a guy, he has a show called on YouTube called Little Black Book. He's a black guy from England actually. And he reviews all these shows, like everything, like all the reality shows. And he interviews them. Like he's tapped in. Like he interviews them, all of them. Like, he just interviewed Shay and Michael, you know, Hollywood and Ashley, people from Ready to Love. Like, he's somehow really tapped in. So, but my bottom line is, like, so he did an interview with Ashley and Hollywood talking about, right after the reunion, talking about things. And what came out was, one of the many things that came out was, they don't even live in the same city. Hollywood lives in Houston.
And I Ashley did read somewhere Atlanta. That he has like a shop there.
Yeah, they don't even live together. So I'm really like, well, what the fuck was all that for on the show? Y'all acting like y'all live together. Y'all just don't live together.
Which is a part of your point. Which is a part of the reason where it was like, look, I think, you know, no disrespect, no disrespect intended. But when I saw he had the Whopper Choppers.
Oh yeah!
You know he had the Actatee, he got the chitlets. I said, chitlets. Yeah, that's not a barber, my nigga. That's a nigga that's either looking to be a model, and
he's either gonna be a slash model, slash barber, slash actor, slash rapper,
and he can, right? Like, he's a good looking dude. There's no doubt about it, right?
Like very fine.
We you know like they are a striking couple. There's no. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I get it, and I get all of that, but that's what I mean by the show, that they did become a point where you felt like they only really felt open when they were talking with the host.
Oh, with the therapist.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But you know, was she feeling the dating dude? Yeah, sure, she was feeling him, but she wasn't leaving Hollywood for that dude. Like, I mean, come on, man. Like,
I think Kwame would have gave her everything she wanted, though.
Yes,
she
except that he wasn't Hollywood,
right?
That was it.
That was literally the part.
So,
but
the third couple, I don't think is worth talking about.
Yeah, Vince and Tamika.
That girl crying right now.
Yeah, well, right now he is. I can't believe you take me a chicken sandwich. You know what I'm saying? So
stick a hug in that goddamn wine.
Yeah. So Ready to Love finale is on this weekend. This Friday.
I checked out.
I watch it to the end. I miss my Clubhouse people. I was looking for them Saturday night, but I couldn't find them. I was real upset, so I missed the week with my Clubhouse folk. Need to get back with them, but so that's that. Any other TV shit y'all want to talk about?
Oh, my bad.
No, it's okay. I just want to say I revisited Bernie Mac.
Oh yeah, I've been seeing you tweeting about it.
And one, that show has aged incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it reinforced I always felt like there was something missing from Black-ish. And I don't know if I said it on the show or said it to you guys on the text. I've always said Dre and Bo have no chemistry.
Yeah.
As a couple.
Yeah, I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
When I watch, I'm like, yo, you know, Bernie and Awanda had great fucking chemistry.
They seemed like a couple.
Uh-huh. And you know that they weren't at all. There was no shot that they were a couple, but there was this very connective energy that they were able to capture. That was, Awanda ain't hurt nobody's eyes, right?
She looked good today.
Exactly. She ain't hard to look at, for sure.
So I just say that to say I always felt like that was missing from Black-ish. And when I go back to, you know, I hate to say it, even when I kind of watch some Cosby Show episodes, I'm kind of like, there's a romantic chemistry here that you just don't really get on Black-ish at all.
Well, like you said, Bernie and Wanda seem like the Black couple that have been together for a long time, but they still really are, you know, love each other, into each other, and, you know, very attracted to each other as well. And it was, like you said, it was that chemistry thing, like, you know, Wanda known him since before he got money and, you know, and all that. But like you said, with Bo and Dre, it just feels like they like roommates.
It don't curl all the way over.
It's really simple things. Like when, whenever Wanda would walk into a room, Bernie would look up and look at her. Whereas like Bo walks into a room and Dre is just continuing doing whatever he's doing.
Yeah, looking at his new sneakers or whatever.
It didn't even make sense that they like had a baby recently because you don't even see them in bed together.
I love the kids on that show.
Those kids were always the driving force on that show. But then the eldest girl went to Grown-ish and I think it lost a lot when she left.
Yeah. Which I think comes on next week, I think, Grown-ish.
Yeah, I like Grown-ish. I think Grown-ish it comes back next week, if not this week.
Yeah, soon. Very soon. But I love Bernie Mac's show. My mom used to love that show. She used to watch it all the time. And Bernie's funny as shit. You know what I'm saying? To top it off, he's fucking one of the funniest people that's ever been on this planet. Next week, I want to review the Chris Rock special. I haven't watched yet, but I think it came out.
I haven't watched either.
Yeah, Netflix.
I think it's a re-edit of the one that already came out. Am I wrong about that?
It's like I think it made it more like a it's a show, but I think it's like more like
it's like a behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I want to watch that. So we talk about that next week. What are you gonna say, Nye?
I was saying there's a new Chris Rock special.
So I wanted to. We definitely want to talk about that next week.
Netflix is putting out like 40 or 50 movies this year. Did you see that long commercial where they were like releasing new movies all year? So there's a Western that is, what's his face? Jonathan Majors and Elba and Regina King. There's
a Black Western.
A Black Western. It looks great. Just the little snippets that I've seen of it. There's probably like 10 or 12 movies. There's a Halle Berry directorial debut.
Okay.
There's Lin-Manuel has something coming out. It was a string of like a lot of good,
good-looking
content. I don't think so.
Yeah, let's not.
In the movie or?
I don't think that's a pandemic thing because obviously they would have had to shoot before. But you know, Netflix fought a big battle in order to get Academy consideration for their releases. So once they won that fight, that paved the way and opened, you know, reasoning for them to do more, you know, streamer releases. And the timing just happened to hit perfect for them.
Yeah, I mean, and now, I mean, it's good that they're doing this because, you know, HBO Max and Disney Plus is like got their foots on their neck. Like, it's just.
I mean, do they know?
I mean,
really.
Yeah.
Nobody
I,
has their foot on Netflix's neck.
I like HBO Max.
Yeah, but ain't nobody saying I'm letting go of
no, Netflix. No. Nobody's going to cancel shit, but I watch HBO Max a lot. I enjoy a lot of their stuff, and you know, Disney has obviously all the Disney stuff and Mandalorian, and like, so like, you know, there's other options now. So competition is good. Competition is good. We might as well jump on into.
I just think foot on their neck is excessive.
Okay, maybe I was wilding out a little bit with the foot on their neck. Oh, back to the Lori Harvey thing. I just wanted to say, because I was going to say it and I lost track of it. To all the shit that y'all was saying, I remember when, previous to getting married, because I got married late, and I would get those all the time. When you going to settle down? I was like, I don't fucking know why I got to settle down. Well, don't you think you're too old? No, I don't, actually, you know. And then they go, why are you dating her? I was like, yo, shit, the hoes need love, too. Like, shit, the fuck? Like, why I got to just date upper crust girls? Like, what the fuck? They affect the quote-unquote hoes or whatever you call them, like some of the best people I ever met.
You come back to the
you
topic with some wild
crazy right, like, we're talking about how it's not being a hoe, and he's like, no, but the hoes need love too.
But what I'm saying is the ones that are deemed hoes.
That is Jeffrey Sledge.
Hoe advocacy.
I mean, we had some good times. That's what I had.
Jeff, you do love a wild girl though. You love a street.
Look, they need love too. Like, why I gotta be fucking stylish and corny? Like,
I'm not mad at it though. But you
can go to church, and she might stab you.
Depending on the day.
I got a new bio right there.
Depending on the day, but you're gonna walk in the house and you're gonna smell that chicken frying too. So anyway, let's move on to the government. So inauguration is next week, correct?
Correct.
The 20th.
The 20th ish. We'll get into the Trump thing in a second, but you know, there's been all these reports of a lot of these people who came to the coup coming back and all that. And I'm just here to say, two police officers died, right? Others were wounded. There's video footage that all the news channels have shown of these people beating the shit out of one cop. Like, another cop was kind of stuck in the door, and he was literally screaming for his life.
I don't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I do want to interject here. The two cops that were killed, one apparently committed suicide.
Yes. And one was
so I just want to give context that two officers.
I gotta look up. I think you're wrong. I think the cop that committed suicide made it three.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the third.
That was my understanding.
Yeah, yeah. There was two that died in violence, and then the third guy committed suicide. You know, they're saying maybe because they were finding out that he was part of the insurrection and da da da. But whatever. My point is, the get down next week is going to be nuts because the cops is going to get back now. They're like, oh, y'all killed two of us? It ain't going to be no standing back shit next week.
But the cops were part of it. Like I know
that, but they killed two of them.
I don't know that regular cops are like considered Capitol Police, which are federal, as like part of them. Tell me, I mean, correct me if
I'm
wrong.
I don't know. I'll take your word for it.
State troopers, cops, all those guys have like a real blue life situation, and then the Capitol Police are their whole other own shit.
Oh, kind of.
Because there was really no fraternal, not like the one of the wildest things I saw was somebody literally fighting cops holding a Blue Lives Matter flag. Like, it was just like the disconnect was insane. But there's also, Jeff, the FBI saying there are reports of plans to now do armed
insurrections at Capitol.
At every state.
Yeah, yeah, every capital city. Yeah. I saw that.
People are starting to get arrested, but they're still not really naming the major players and organizers for real. And maybe it's a matter of national security.
Yeah, I think that's strategic.
But a lot of people who are getting arrested are right now getting arrested for breaking the 6 o'clock curfew and for unlawful entry. And I'm like, shouldn't there be a federal charge here somewhere? Or maybe they're keeping the federal shit low.
They put niggas on the no-fly zones and all that. Yeah, all I'm saying is, like, it's going to be some blood running in them streets next week.
I'm saying if they were to take swifter courses of action immediately, that would
occur. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%, but they're not doing that. And all I'm saying is like, grab your popcorn, because it's going to be some Call of Duty shit happening next week. It's going to be some battling going on next week. It ain't going to be like it was a week and a half ago when motherfuckers was watching. That's not happening next week.
Well, I got America the Series on the TV right now, and the headline is that the National Guard is sending an additional 20,000 troops to cover inauguration.
As they should,
as should have been done for January 6th.
Well, exactly.
But also, them identifying a credible threat to every capital city is probably what's sucking up all of their resources right now. So I think the arrests should be moving more quickly. But if you think of that 51 threats that are going on all across the country, I think that's more prudent. I know in my heart, that's the thing that's most concerning, because everybody I know lives in or is from a capital city.
Yeah, or near one, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
what you
like, I'm from Annapolis, Maryland.
Bro, you got some shit to say, bro.
No, I really don't. I mean, I think that those capitals, obviously they're going to take these threats a little more serious now. I don't necessarily know that there is going to be a lot of action, so to speak. I don't think that they're going to be like all out shootouts. Do I think shots will be fired? Probably. But I just want to also reiterate, you know, the federal government has a history of standing down against violence on its citizens. And let me clarify that. Clearly, I'm not talking about state municipal police and things like that. And yes, we know that in Portland, there have been federal agents acting as some sort of fucking drop squad. But what I'm saying is the optics of the federal government, we know what happened with Waco. We know what happened with Ruby Ridge. We know what happened in as far back as Kent State. We don't talk about Southern, Southern as much as we do. But these are also things that are being seen through that. We know that Clive and Bundy, they've had standoffs with them in Nevada. They've had standoffs with his son in Oregon. They usually do not end in these massive firefights. But I think that there'll be a show of force that we didn't see before. That still doesn't really, I'm not necessarily going to say that there still won't be violence. I think there will be. And, you know, I don't know. All of this shit is a wild card. Like, if you told me that they were wilding in D.C., I would have never thought that they would have overtaken the Capitol.
Ever.
Nobody would
have.
Never in a million years.
But that's also why it makes me feel like they got some shit to prove next week. Like, y'all think y'all come back and do this again and y'all killed two of us?
Think, you know, this is also the problem. The problem with making these assessments in the way that we're doing it right now is that all of this information, you know, the news cycle is peppering us with information. And so what happens is you get an article at 10 a.m., you get an article at 2 p.m., there's another one at 7 p.m., and they're three different things. And because, you know, the need is to press this out fast and quick, we're not really able to digest all of the information in one fell swoop. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is still developing. Like, no one can tell me or show the clear line of communication between the sergeant at arms, because I've seen where the sergeant at arms was basically like, we don't want the troops there. We don't want the optics of the troops there.
Yeah.
And so the Capitol Police fell back because they are, you know, basically subordinate in this particular role. Right. We don't know what was the command from the Capitol Police on down to those folks. We don't know if he told them to stand down. We don't know if they told them, you know, go to this location, let them have the rotunda, you know, evacuate You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many different things. What we're also seeing is that even with Capitol Police and even with Secret Service, like a lot of these things, these are, you know, this evacuation procedure is very much like a drill. I know we laugh about the kids doing a fire drill back in the days, but a big part of that was that you had muscle memory, right? Like that you knew where you were kind of going. You knew where your nearest exit was. You knew, you know, all of those things have to be sort of that literally drilled into you, right? And I don't think, and I think what we saw was not necessarily a lack of preparation, but a lack of thoroughness, like actually like doing, putting it in practice. Knowing what to do and being able to do it under duress is not the same thing. And we clearly witnessed, you know, failure. Like it was failure. Like there's no other way around it other than failure. To watch that Capitol Police officer, last week I thought it was a Secret Service agent, but apparently it was a Capitol Police officer that shot the woman that was climbing through the barricade. Like when you look at that footage, there are riot gear police with long guns behind them.
Yeah. They moved. There was guys in front of that door who just moved.
Yo, it was. And so again, I don't know what is being told. It seems to me just very weird. And, you know, look, I know there's been a lot of articles about the black officer that we saw basically
that ran up the stairs and all that.
And look, America is fascinated with heroes.
Absolutely.
Real, or make
believe. Or imagined, yes.
Right. And so I'm not giving any blame or credit because we don't know. Like we're making all of these assessments.
We're making narratives up as we go.
He took them this way. Nigga, he might have been just running for his life. Like we don't fucking know that. It just happened to work out. You know what I'm saying? Clearly these guys knew where to go. They went to Pelosi's office. You mean to tell me in the entire fucking Capitol, they just happened to stumble upon?
They went directly.
Well, I saw a clip today.
I saw that clip.
But the guys had the floor plans. They were discussing a tour
the day before. Some people have been walked through by GOP, allegedly.
But these dudes is like literally discussing, like, nah, you turn down this hall and go here. But like, they knew where everybody was.
There was a lady outside the window that had like a bullhorn, and she was saying, okay, so right below you guys, there is a door that two people can fit through. And if you break that glass right there, you can get into this room. And then she was like, we need more people to come on this side. Don't go in that door. Like, somebody had the schematics, obviously, and they had studied them and were putting people, you know, on the path to find other people.
And the other thing that we're missing here is that the House, well, apparently three House Democrats are now COVID positive.
Yeah.
Because these motherfuckers couldn't wear masks.
When they were hiding.
Because the Republicans that they were basically being evacuated with and being huddled with were refusing to wear their masks. And this again just goes to, this is also, and in that evacuation was the Georgia representative who's also the fucking conspiracy theorist lady. She also
Marjorie and whatever.
So what I was talking about last week was that this is a real concern, is that they have absolutely not just infiltrated their state houses, which we already knew, but they are in those legislative rooms. They are. I will be very, very shocked if there is not a mass shooting at some point very soon in that hall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Trump, everybody's squeezing him now. De Blasio came out today and said they're trying to dead the contracts that he has with the Woolman Rink and other Central Park stuff. And there's a golf course too. They're trying to dead in that shit.
He lost the PGA.
But there's a golf course here in New York that they're dead
in the Bronx.
They're dead in that too. Airbnb came out today and said they're not written. They got mad people on this list. They're not written no rooms for inauguration to give people the opportunity to come stay with them. So
they canceled all of the Airbnb inauguration weekend in DC reservations, and they're compensating the hosts.
Yeah. So. You know, he getting, you know, kicked left and right out. He deaded his YouTube, I think, yesterday or today. Obviously,
nigga banned from Google.
Nigga banned from Spotify, nigga.
He can't even get a jam. Pornhub, Reddit, YouTube, because these are also about Trump conversations and dialogue.
Exactly.
But, you know, as much as we've been asking for it and as long as we've been asking for it, it is annoying that it took a literal act of violence against the state, for people to be like, all right, fine. You know, so, because imagine what you could have done had you shut this shit down a month ago.
Yeah, 2 months ago. DC came out today and said that they are about to drop some charges on Donald Trump Jr.
Let me interrupt you for 1 second. Also, Deutsche Bank said they're about to foreclose on Mar-a-Lago and Trump Tower, and that's big.
Yeah. Deutsche Bank can eat a fucking dick. Deutsche Bank is literally the bank that has enabled him.
Yeah.
Deutsche Bank is where he owes the most money. Deutsche Bank has literally given him millions of dollars with zero fucking collateral. Hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, it is fascinating that they're now trying to play this role of the good guy to separate themselves. Deutsche Bank is a fucking, they're a pieces of shit.
You're right. Yeah. But I also was waiting for this because as much as Trump is power hungry and as much as he doesn't want to face charges, I think the massive amount of debt he's facing and the fact that he has no real viability to spend it. He's got less money earning potential right now than he actually did.
His brand is fucked.
Trump University, no more Trump stakes, no more Trump casinos, no more licensing his name. Like, that shit is dead. And he's in greater debt because he borrowed against more money while he was in office. And all his international plugs are going to be dead. And as a private citizen, he's coming back out as a private citizen with less leverage than he had before he went into office.
This is why impeachment is so important, because impeaching him now takes away his safety net, takes away his pension, his travel fund,
he can never be elected again, which means that he can't, because you know he's going to kick off a campaign like immediately just so he can fill his coffers.
And it takes away his Secret Service detail.
Yep.
Also that.
Yes.
Yep. So he's getting squeezed.
And maybe then we don't have to go through the whole farce. This is a very small thing, but I've been thinking about this for years. We don't have to go through the whole farce of trying to do a Trump library, which...
Oh, yeah.
Nigga don't read.
Yeah. He ain't read shit. So he's getting squeezed from every angle. I'm loving it. The news network's not even covering his shit. Now that he did a speech yesterday at the Alamo, they didn't even really cover it anymore.
I haven't seen that nigga on TV in a minute.
Exactly. And I'm loving it. And again, I agree that it shouldn't have taken, the government for it to happen. But, you know,
but that's happened. Just it. They didn't realize shit was real until they were in danger inside of the chamber.
Like the poor laureate CeeLo Green says.
Oh, my God.
Thinking it can't happen to you, and then it do. They never thought like it was going to be.
The poet laureate Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until you
get punched in the face.
Exactly. They never thought they was going to be on the other side of the doors with people trying to kick them doors in. But now they are. One last thing about this thing, which is buck wild. The Stop the Steal organizer is actually a black dude, well, by skin color.
I think
he's the main one. Yeah, Ali Alexander.
With the permed hair?
Yeah, with the permed Sammy Davis hair. And he's said already that he...
Don't even disrespect Sammy like that.
You're right.
Sammy's shit was laid to the side. Yeah,
Sammy
was half Cuban, so Sammy had... He had some wavy in his shit anyway. Baby. Yeah, now his mom was Cuban, for real, bro. Now his mom was Cuban, for real.
I got to check.
Sammy was Cuban, bro.
That nigga from Memphis. What are you talking
about? No, that nigga from Harlem. He's a Harlem nigga, but his mom must be Cuban. But anyway, Ali Alexander said that he was getting help. He said he's named three Congress members he was getting help from. Paul Gosar.
That's Andy why you better Biggs, name them Mo names, Brooks. Black man. Name.
Yeah, because he's like, because I think he's like, I'm black. I'm fucked. That's over for me. He's in hiding right now.
I also think that this hair. Is a part. I think that this is also a part of the why you'll see the arrests slowing down. These are sort of the initial arrests, and now what you do and what the federal government is known for doing is you work your way up that pole,
squeezing, right, squeezing niggas now, to get to the next
because,
nigga.
Yes, because now it's like. Lester Freeman from The Wire, follow mm-hmm. the money. Where's the money?
Mm-hmm.
Once you start following that money, it's like, oh shit, I'm opening up cans of worms here. So we'll see how it plays out. I do think that they're going to, I mean, Pence has already said he's not going to do the impeachment. I don't know why that they even waited.
The 25th Amendment.
The 25th Amendment, which, I mean, he left Pelosi and Schumer on the fucking on hold for 25 minutes. I don't know why they didn't think that was a indication that he wasn't really fucking with them like that. So, you know, again, this is that to me sounds like a man who understands he still has a public career, and the reality is that there's 74 million people that voted for Donald Trump. That is not a small amount of people.
No,
and these a lot of these Republicans, they can talk about what's right and all of that sort of shit, but they're career politicians and they are going to want to tap into that base.
Yes So yeah, I guess we'll talk about this inauguration and see how that goes. And obviously, like this impeachment.
And in between that, we got MLK Day on Monday.
I dead ass forgot about that.
Very interesting. I did too.
I'm curious as to what inauguration is even going to look like. Why, if we're canceling like the Grammys and stuff, and I know this is like a far reach, but why are we even having this giant outdoor public rally and parade?
You're right.
In the times of COVID, especially when there's going to be a giant spike after this.
I definitely don't think they should do the parade. Like Joe should.
It should be mostly virtual. I mean, I think we can do like a White House lawn situation. I don't know. I think that is just stupid to have him out there like that.
I think the inauguration might be one of the things where it's such a grand thing that's been done in a very specific way for so long, it would be very hard to scale it down. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I agree.
The dignitaries that have to be there, the other electeds that have to be there, the members of Congress that have to be there, the whole course of the day, there's a lunch, there's the thing, there's another thing. And also, people got to be out the White House so they can move motherfuckers in and out.
I want to add one thing that I found very interesting today. That the sergeant at arms for the Senate, Mike Stringer, he was nominated by Mitch McConnell.
Really?
I just found that very interesting.
What was the sergeant at arms doing while everything was popping off?
Well, apparently the sergeant at arms was the person who basically told them, "We don't, you know, we're good. Like we don't need any help." And so, you know, he stepped down literally the next day. The sergeant at arms for the House of Representatives also stepped down, and the Capitol Police Chief resigned. And
did the DC Police Chief?
Did the DC Police Chiefs? I don't think so. No, because that's a municipal. The Capitol Police Chief resigned. And I think what you're going to see is a level of hot potato like you've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And people's careers.
Oh, the director of VHS resigned.
Yeah. So you're going to see people, because these are not young men. These are people whose careers, you know, 20, 30 year careers and reputations are completely on the line here as to who knew what and when and what happened. So I think it's going to be important. I think it's important for them to process this impeachment. I think it's important for them to do double duty. I think Joe and the Democrats need to, you know, do this swiftly. And if that means that we have to hold off on a couple of appointees for a little while, then I think that would be fine. But they need to put a foot on the neck of this shit right now.
Yeah, they said that they're overhauling the whole Secret Service because they found, you know, moles and shit in there. So they're like they're cleaning that out.
Let me.
I appreciate the media coverage.
Security unit. Oh, sorry. No, go ahead.
I appreciate the media coverage on the arrests and exposing what jobs these people have.
Mm-hmm.
So many cops, so many teachers, that mm-hmm. sort of thing, just to show like how ingrained all these people are in regular society. Because yep. a lot of white people like to act like, oh, this isn't my, yes, my uncle would never do that.
Yeah,
you're a judge and your kids are out there wilding.
It also showed several layers of what we think are Trump supporters, right? And we kind of have this idea and this image and this stereotype of like this trailer park person.
Yeah, hillbilly,
you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And while they are that, you know, we're seeing executive level folks. We're seeing lieutenant colonels of the military.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like we talking about motherfuckers that are like, you know, five rungs down from the top. Like, you know, what I'm saying? Like, we're talking about really high leadership in some of these positions. We're talking about people of what. There was one lady who took a fucking private jet to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Clarence Thomas' wife,
yeah,
with the 70 buses she funded. Yeah.
Like, okay, so somebody got to get in Clarence's ass about that. You are a fucking Supreme Court justice.
Fuck that coon ass nigga. And
I think that's why the federal government is moving kind of diligently and slowly to make sure that we get motherfuckers out.
Exactly.
Who are even adjacent to this.
And yeah. you see that coon Tim Scott, he said we shouldn't have been impeached. Fuck that nigga too. On that note, we're going to wrap it up. Y'all stay safe out there and happy MLK Day. I forgot about. Happy MLK Day for y'all celebrating that. And don't go to work. Stay home. Watch school. Watch BET or
TV. Go to PBS. Watch Eyes on the Prize.
Word. We're on a steady loop.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and we'll see y'all next week.
Later.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook, send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.